How's everybody? Wow, that helicopter is really loud. Lord Jesus, we come today, God, we consecrate this time to you. Father, we consecrate our hearts to you. God, we want to slow down and allow you to catch up to us. I say that because you've been pursuing us. And you let us take the lead sometimes. You let us get up ahead just a little bit. God, we slow ourselves today. God, we just want to take this next 30 seconds, God, just slow down our hearts, slow down our minds, give ourselves freedom to stop chasing security. God, we just want to give ourselves freedom, God, to not be enslaved anymore to scarcity. God, we just pray right now, God, that you would allow us to hear your voice in the stillness. Allow us to experience your presence. God, allow us to experience and receive love. God, may we just kind of in our minds sort of take our seat at your table and just be willing to receive what you're serving. You're not just serving meatloaf. God, we want to receive what you have today. In your name we pray, amen. Well, Joe went and got my coffee, so I got to do his favorite song. I owe him one. There is not a man nor a beast, nothing on the ground or underneath. Oh, nothing that could ever come between the love you have for me. I could lay my head in Sheol, I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place I can escape you. Cause your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. There is not an angel of the stars. There is not a devil in the dark. Oh, nothing that could change the way you are and the love you have for me. I could lay my head in Sheol. I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place I could escape you. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Coming after me. No. Stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after you, coming after me. And I can lay my head in Sheol. I can make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place could escape you. Yeah, I could lay my head in Sheol. I could make my bed at the dawn of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place I could escape you. Your heart won't stop coming up to me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me.
Amen to that, huh? Isn't it good to know that God the Father this loving King that we've been hearing about our whole lives, some of us. Is pursuing His people. It's easy to forget. Or maybe some of us don't even know that. That God is actively pursuing. Maybe we've heard of a very judgmental God who's angry. We've heard a lot of that, right? We've heard a lot of this God that's frustrated with humanity. His people are not doing what He wants them to do. But I believe today that God is more frustrated for the beauty that we don't see in ourselves than He is about whatever sin you're tied up in right now, whatever addiction you're tied up in right now. And I believe God is actively opposed to that more than He is you. He is for you, right? He is for you. I want to do a song I haven't done in a long, long time. Wrote it, God, it's been 20 years ago. But some friends of mine who are actually missionaries down in Moria, I probably messed that up, place in Mexico, two loving people that are showing people how to love themselves down there. Jesus loves them. I woke up one night it was late. I was going to sleep, and God said, you need to tell these two people that I'm the warrior and I am with them. And so I did. Kind of felt weird doing it. So I texted my friend Reggie, 1 a.m., And I didn't know it, but they had all this opposition coming against them, and all these things they were fighting through. And they were trying to fight on their own, right? Because we all do that. Trying to prepare, trying to make arrangements. Because we all do that. For a lot of us, it's more selfish. We're trying to make preparations and arrangements for our own happiness, our own pleasure. Some of us were trying to make preparations and arrangements for people around us that are counting on us. But God said, tell them that I am the warrior. I am the warrior, and I am with them. Because I think that's the message to all of us, that God is the warrior. He's the one that you've heard about. He's the famous one that you read stories about. And I believe God is actively fighting and actively opposed to the anger and the frustration that we feel about ourselves, the bitterness, that keeps us locked away. This I've got to do it on my own mentality. God saved me, so I owe him a big favor. And if I don't measure up, then he's going to be pissed off. Right? Because that's what a lot of us really believe. That this God is mad and he's coming. We better have our shit together when he gets here, right? Because if we don't, we're in big, big trouble, right? But there's a different narrative that God asks, that God commands. I'm losing signal. I'm losing signal. See, that's what happens. That's what happens. That's what happens. When that's what happens. When you start hearing stories about this very good, loving king who's coming after you. The enemy does not want you to hear that, right? He does not want you to hear that. He doesn't want us to know that. He wants us to get stuck in our own bullcrap, in our own self-hatred, in our own frustration. He wants to point it back to you. It's all your fault. You live on the streets because you messed it up. Because you've made too many mistakes. You're too far gone. But God, this warrior, says, no, you're not too far gone. In fact, you're a beautiful, valuable treasure that I'm coming after, that I'm pursuing, that I've been pursuing since you were created. God being your father was never a plan B. It was the plan all along. And the moms and dads that we had in our lives, they either gave us a good impression of God or a bad one. But God being your father has always been the plan. And he's been pursuing. He's been chasing after you. In a cold, dark dungeon, in a castle far away, he holds her captive, and a dragon guards the gate, and demons hover over her. She's tortured, she's so ashamed, she's the bride of the warrior. He's coming back for her someday. Oh, and he'll not prevail. When this warrior comes to save the one he loves, he won't leave without her. He won't leave without her. 'Cause he's a mighty warrior. Even when she runs
turns away, and you better respect her, or I promise you there'll be hell to pay. She's the bride of the warrior. He's coming back for her someday, 'cause he's a mighty warrior.
Jesse is much taller than me. Bring this thing down real quick. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. It's beautiful, beautiful church at Southside. You are beautiful. I know that sounds weird. I know, you know sometimes dudes don't like that term. But it's not me that's saying it. It's the Father. You are a masterpiece. You are a work of art. And even if you don't believe it, you're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. And that your Father wants better for you every day. And if you're good, he wants best. If you're bad, he wants good. And he's never going to stop. Thank you so much, Jesse. That was absolutely gorgeous. We're going to kind of dive more into that concept of how we can sometimes imprison ourselves through shame and through guilt. But before we do, we have a brother Marcus coming up here. He's going to share with us a little bit this morning. Because, you know, we heal, we change, we see our power through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So come on.
Yeah, so Thursday, I went to work, and I was talking to a young brother. He's like maybe 20 years younger than me. Friday, I went to work, and I found out that he got hit by a FedEx van driven by a woman who left the scene. Fortunately, another motorist saw the incident and followed that woman and called the police, who came and arrested her and took her to jail. So I just want to say, let's stay prayed up, and every day thank the Lord for another day, because we don't know when our time is going to come. Like they say, here 1 minute, gone the next. So just everybody, please, please, get up in the morning and thank the Lord for another day. I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus. That was beautiful, brother. That's beautiful. And just as another quick aside, I want to emphasize one point. The only thing that separates me standing here and you standing over there is distance, as in, we are all called we are all ministers. That's right, Wayne. We all have a ministry. It may not all look the same. I don't have a clerical collar. Not everybody has a pulpit, but everything that you do has an effect on the people around you. And you have been called. And more importantly, you are worthy of that calling. But worthiness is sometimes a really, really tricky subject. And that's what I want to tackle, or at least to begin to tackle today. Because a few weeks ago, Keith stood here and he challenged us. He was talking through the book of Ephesians, and he's talking about the importance of unity in the body of Christ. And everyone knows that when we talk about the body of Christ, we mean each other, right? We are all the body of Christ. And that we need to do our best to heal any fractures within the body of Christ. And so Keith told us, look, if y'all got any beef with anybody, you need to go up to that person. And you just say, you know what? I don't like you, but I want to forgive you. Let's squash this so that there can be more unity. We want unity in the body so that the body can perform as it should, so that there can be more power and so that more impact can be had. But something occurred to me while I was sitting there listening to those words. There's a Bible verse, Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I don't know why that stirred something up in me so severely, but what if I can't forgive someone because I don't have it in me? What if I don't have enough love in me to extend it to anyone else? You cannot give what is not in you. If someone wanted me to speak French, it would be a very, very short conversation after the word souffle. That's it. And French fries don't count. You can only give what is in you. And so it occurred to me that many people may struggle to do what Pastor Keith was telling them to do with their full heart. I'm not saying that if you did it, it was real. It meant something. But forgiving from the core of who you are, the way that the Father forgives us, that takes a lot to do. And it's really, really hard to do. And it gets harder the more unforgiveness that we have in ourselves. And I'm not talking about just carrying unforgiveness towards other people who have hurt us. That's important. But I actually think there's another degree of unforgiveness that is worse, that is more severe, that is more limiting than if someone else harms us. And I'm talking about the unforgiveness that we have towards our own selves. If we think of the fact that we are created in God's image, and God and the body of Christ is a whole group of people, each one of us is also a powerful being composed of multiple parts. But too often, because of some mistakes that we've made, because of someone hurting us who we trusted, because of a bad day, because of chemical imbalances, whatever the reason, too often, we have determined that there are parts of us that are unworthy. We have determined that there are parts of us that don't deserve the love of God. And I want to tell you right now that I'm speaking not to judge anyone here, because I'm speaking of myself. There have been times where Freddie hated Freddie. There were times where I just could not understand why I couldn't control my own temper. I hated it about myself. And so my solution was to bury that part of me down deep, to kind of push that part of me, the anger, Freddie, which was really just the immature part of me, the child part of me that had been hurt before, and put that part of me in a tiny prison in my heart so that nobody would see it, so that it wouldn't affect anybody's opinions of me, and so that I could be the happy, friendly, loving Freddy that everybody expected me to be. But you know, there's another really cool verse. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I was that house. I was that house. And I had found a way, somehow, even though I read the Bible, I knew what was right. I tried to be nice. I tied 10, sometimes 15%. On a Pharisee scale, I was doing amazing. But I decided that there was a part of me that even God shouldn't try to heal. I decided that there was a part of Freddie that did not deserve God's own forgiveness. And so whenever I went to God, I was going as 90% of myself. Because that 10%, I was too embarrassed and ashamed of. And I'm not going to, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if anybody out there wants to raise their hand, does anybody else have a part of themselves that they are ashamed of, that they struggle with, that they don't like to face, that they wish wasn't there, that they hate? Yeah. It is a human condition. Because some of us, unfortunately, are taught judgment and shame before love. Fortunately, however, that teaching doesn't come from Jesus. Let me tell you what actually does come from Jesus. Power and love and a calling of which all of you have a free resource. You've heard me say this verse before, and you're going to hear it again. For you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. He didn't say most of you is God's handiwork, and that other part, I don't know. He didn't tell me that only the good Freddy was created in Christ Jesus to do the good works. He didn't separate out the parts of me that don't easily mix well with others. He loves and accepts all of me. He loves and accepts all of you. For the record, most of this is not on this paper that's in front of me. But look, if that's what God's going to do, we're going to do it. And we're going to ride this out together. 1 Peter 2 and 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a nation, a people of his own possession. Not only do you deserve love, not only are you amazing, but you're actually part of his royal priesthood, each and every single one of you. It doesn't matter what you've done. You are qualified. You're overqualified to represent God to the rest of humanity. And every time you screw up, and you're human, so you will, you become more qualified, not less. Because newsflash, we all fall short. But as long as we show love instead of judgment, we can help people on their way to connecting with Christ. Hebrews 4:16. And this is actually one of the most important reasons why we want to try and heal the divide within ourselves. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We've talked about the ability to boldly go before the throne of God like you are God's child. But you can't boldly go when you don't feel like you deserve to be there. Because a part of you ain't gonna go before that throne. Because you have spent so much time
with the shame and the hatred and the dirtiness and the feeling of judgment in you, that part is much more comfortable in the darkness where you keep it. And that hurt only continues and it grows. Now, this is kind of far out there. I'm sure you probably didn't come here today thinking that you're going to hear about a quote from a Swiss philosopher. But we're going to work that too. There's a guy named Carl Jung who has a quote. And we're going to explain it. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. What in the world does that even mean, Freddie? That part of you that you pushed way, way down, it's still a creation of God. And it still has all the power that God gave the rest of you. And just like you would if you were forced to be pushed into a dark place and ignored and shamed, it cries out. It cries out for the same things that you do. That part of you that's been shunned cries out for love. That part of you that's been shunned cries out for companionship, for acceptance, for peace, for wholeness. And as it cries out, you will find yourself falling in the same patterns throughout your life that have dogged you. So ironically, the part of you that you try to push away is the part of you that will dictate how things can go. Because you know what's funny? The more that I tried to suppress and hide Angry Freddy, the more that I kept running into things that made Angry Freddy surface. I moved to Atlanta at one point. One thing that makes Angry Freddy surface is traffic. Why would someone who hates traffic ever move to Atlanta from Birmingham? I have no idea. But every morning, I was like straight rageful. It was a part of me trying to make sure that I actually deal with my problem. It was a part of me that had been caged and left in the dark for too long. But there are solutions. We don't have to keep living with this part of us that we are ashamed of. And so we don't have to keep half living. We don't have to keep tiptoeing around the things that trigger us. We don't have to keep kind of hoping that okay, I'm going to let my spouse see this part of me, but I'm not going to let anybody else see this part of me because, I mean, who would like that guy? There are ways that we can actually be healed if we will simply allow it to be. Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Which, if I stop right there, that's worth it. Who doesn't want to have their whole debt cleared? That is amazing in and of itself. And I could walk off and, hey, just repent so you can have your sins cleared and you're good. But the next part of it for me gave me more life. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing. There's another one, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are labored and weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. How many people are tired? How many people are tired and weary from carrying the burden of self-hatred? Carrying the burden of rejection of the self. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes between you and God, only you are judging you. Not him. He wants to heal you. He wants to love you. And he wants to heal and love all of you. And he doesn't have to cordon one part off because he can't deal with it. You are not a judge.
Judge not lest ye be judged. We always think that that means don't judge other people. Well, it also means don't judge yourself unworthy. Only God can do that, and he never will. He will always find you worthy of his love. He will always forgive you 1, 2, 40, 11 billion more times, no matter what, because you are his child. It doesn't matter what you do. James 2:13. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, but thankfully, mercy triumphs over judgment. God wants to show you mercy right now. He wants to give you rest right now. You have been carrying this bag of bricks that you call shame and regret for far, far too long. I personally believe that the first sin, it was disobedience because they ate the apple. But then what happened immediately after? When God came to find them, they covered themselves up in shame. Sin, which caused distance to form between the Adam and Eve and their relationship with God, brought about, more than anything else, shame. It's the devil's most incredible tool. And you won't hear me talking about the D-dude very often, because I think we give him too much power. But his most incredible tool is shame. Because you know what? If you put shame in somebody, they won't seek help. They'll believe that they deserve to be hurt. They'll believe that they deserve lack. They will believe that they deserve to be alone. They'll believe that they deserve every nasty thing that they get. And it's a lie, but it doesn't stop them from believing it. You don't have to worry about the fact that you are not perfect as of today. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working on me. He's still working on each and every one of us. But the work could probably go a lot faster if we don't try to do his job for him and cut out the parts of us that we reject. So I want to challenge each and every one of us. I may be the first person who comes up here to speak and ends up getting fired because I'm giving folks homework. But I want to challenge each and every one of us and anybody who's watching to do something to see if we can try and heal that. At the table, as you go through the line at the back of the table, I got some notebooks. I got some pens. Please take a notebook, take a pen. Because what I want you to do this week, whenever you feel able, is to write down in words. Write down the things about yourself that you can't stand. And I know, trust me, I've done this. It feels terrible. Write down the parts of yourself that you reject. Write down the parts of yourself that you hate. Write it down in a book. You see, a funny thing is going to happen immediately once you do that. One thing is, we know things like mold and the problem of lies, those things seem to grow way better in the dark than the light. And that shame that you have about the things that you've done or the person that you are is growing as long as it is a secret locked away in your heart. But when you write it down, you have stolen the power of the darkness around it. And you open yourself up to forgiveness. So just writing it down will be helpful. But the next step, which is also challenging, will bring a whole world of healing. The next step is to read that list out loud and to forgive yourself. To forgive yourself for rejecting yourself and to apologize for rejecting a creation of God. You're apologizing to yourself, but simultaneously you're apologizing to God for trying to do his job. And what does this do? It means that if you had 10% of you locked away, now you can receive 100% of God's grace and not just 90. It means that when somebody tells me, Freddie, go across and squash your beef,
I know what forgiveness is because I have now received 100% of forgiveness in my heart. There is no part of me I want to keep away from the love of God. There is no part of you that doesn't deserve his love and doesn't deserve his grace. So as we go through this week, doing this exercise, and like I said, I know it's hard, and this is probably the first time you ever got homework. I know, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Because I want us as a body to be able to change this world. This church, I've been a part of a lot of churches in my life. This church is one of the most powerful churches I have ever been a part of because love is everywhere. Love is everywhere. You all are love. From the moment that my family and I got here, I felt love, overwhelming, unpretentious, pure love. And that sort of love can change everything. So let's heal ourselves. Let's accept all of God into our hearts. Let's stop rejecting ourselves like we have any ability to judge what is good and what is not. And let's start a new day of power, of purpose, and of peace. I love each and every one of you. But God loves you more, and God loves you better. So let him do what he does best.
Afraid to leave, afraid to turn the
God, thank you today. Thank you for, God, just permission, God, that we can receive, God, that we can be free, that freedom is possible. God, and we pray today, God, that we would just continue to walk in a posture, God, of humility, just to receive what you're offering to us in love and mercy and forgiveness and joy. Father, we just pray today. We pray over the provisions that will be passed out today, God. We pray over each heart that would receive them. God, we just pray for goodness and grace. And God, just the ability to be able to love ourselves the way you love us. In your name we pray. Amen. D. Wayne, where are you?